Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome in. It is Old School. It is not Jay Foreman and Austin Orman, though. It is Nick Sainert here alongside Jake Bachoven. Bach, it's our third time, I believe, in the last week or so of us doing radio together. We like it every time. And as we know, there is no shortage of news to certainly discuss.
Yeah, I thought I woke up this morning. I thought I might be talking a little bit to Jamarion Parker today, but yeah. Not so much. There's been a lot more going on. So,
I mean, once again, 402, as always, 402-464-5685, the Honda Lincoln Hotline and the Starter Heyman text line are both open for you guys, as well as the Starter Heyman Jewelers live video stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Allo Cable Channel 961, all places for you guys to get in touch with the show. And certainly to talk some things over. So much to get to, whether it is Notre Dame's situation that I have not talked about with Bach yet, whether it's the Nebraska Bowl matchup against Utah, or how about Nebraska moving on from the defensive line coach Terry Braden, officially no longer on staff for Nebraska. But once again, just a large news day. Bach, let's start with this. Just because you and I haven't necessarily been able to communicate and talk about it yet. Thoughts on Nebraska moving on from Terry Braden? Because we know, and I knew from just talking to you on air about it, that you weren't necessarily a massive proponent of the John Butler move, right? But now this is a piece of that defense, a staff member of that defense that Nebraska's moved on from. Initial thoughts, were you surprised by the move?
I wouldn't say surprised, given the way that we saw, you know, things start to change with the defense there with Coach Butler. And Braden was a guy, you know, of course, had been here less than a year, if you do the total math there, but for one season. And so, you know, maybe you thought there would be more of an opportunity for him. But, I mean, the defensive line didn't play all that well this year. We know as part of the rush game problems, you know, that's a big part of it. And so, you know, if the defensive coordinator is going to fall on the sword, you know, you possibly see this one coming. Again, the only surprising element to it is the coach rule having to basically go ahead and admit that he made a mistake in a couple hiring in a couple of his hires in this past season. And so sometimes you don't necessarily want to do that, but at the same time, I get it. And again, to the Butler thing, I think at some point it'd be nice to have some continuity somewhere around here. I thought Butler's defense was frustrating at times, but probably not a fireable offense. But again, I think to both Butler and Braden, now it comes down to, was it a good fit? You know, are things heading the right direction? Could we be better in some of the moves that we make moving forward and win some of these close games and improve on that side of the ball? So I don't necessarily, you know, again, you can stand here and pound your fist and say Matt Rule's not making all the right hires. Why should we believe? But for him, he's doing what's best for the program, and the defense definitely fell out there at the bottom, and a lot of that due to the front lines.
Yeah, once again, 402-464-5685. Would love to hear your guys' thoughts on just the multitude of staff changes, really, from Nebraska that they have chosen to make this year. I mean, you look up and down the list, and it's now, I mean, defensive coordinator and offensive line coach and defensive line coach. I think you look at a couple of the things and a couple of the biggest issues for Nebraska football this year, and it starts in those trenches, right, that they kind of talked about. And so, I mean, Nebraska ranked 105th in sacks this year as a defense. And to be fair, I mean, not all of that goes solely on the defensive line. I think a lot of their issues over the last couple of games also, Bach, haven't just been the sacks. It's been not getting to the quarterback. It's a lot. It's the players. Like, you got to go out there, and there's some sort of mentality that I think a lot of us would agree that to a certain extent, sometimes they're missing some mentality piece of it to go out there and do their job. And it's not me saying that this is only on the players or only on the coaches. I don't think it's one certain thing that you can, you know, surely point at and say, this is the end all be all. This is the reason why there wasn't success. But somebody has to be held responsible, and it's the adults in the room. And I think, you know, in this case, Terry Braden is that guy. However, I will say one of the more consistent guys on that defensive line was somebody that the staff brought in Williams Winery. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was probably Nebraska's best front line guy on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you could see that. And again, does how much of that maybe would you point to Terry Braden, or you know, because
yeah,
part of this is you know, kind of recruiting and who you bring in, who are you helping get? Of course, Nebraska and staff had a connection with Williams Muniri. Trying to get him was close, but not quite quite there the first time, initial time around when he committed to Missouri. So you know, I think as with anything, there's going to be some pros and cons, but the cons definitely outweighed the pros this year for the front lines, for the defensive line. And again, I keep going back to for Coach Butler, you know, evaluating that and addressing that they didn't have the bodies before the Iowa game. And so when you talk about maybe not getting, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but, you know, sometimes the best effort or, you know, sometimes you even feel bad for these defensive coordinators because or guys that scheme it up, because there's a handful of tackles or missed tackles that I could think of this year that certainly might have helped you win some games.
Yeah.
USC, Michigan very much stand out in those discussions. So, you know, it's a team effort, and you kind of have to take the wins and losses by the team, take the accomplishments and the disappointments as a team. But ultimately, like you said, the adults in the room have to pay for it because they're getting well paid.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they make this evaluation and go ahead and move on. And I'm intrigued. Matt Rhule says, you know, these are the moves that he wanted to make this offseason.
Yeah.
And that he gives a lot of say into it to his coordinator. So he's got a new coordinator and Rob Arch coming in as a defensive coordinator. Is he going to want to make any additional moves? Could be. Sounded like from the press conference today, still kind of needs to get to know the staff.
How much of that do you believe? This isn't me trying to call out Matt Rhule for this at all. But how much do you believe when he says that he lets his coordinators have a lot of say?
Well, I think that there has to be some truth to it, because I mean, that's kind of how you're going to bring these guys in. People want to bring in their own people, right?
Well, I mean, I think that a big reason why Nebraska didn't get the agreement from the Toledo defense coordinator Vince is because that Nebraska and Matt Rhule, and this is, once again, there's no wrong answer. There's no right way to go about this. Like, I'm not, once again, criticizing the decision. I will criticize it if it goes wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And to this point, there have been a lot of staffing decisions that have gone wrong, so we can talk about those. And I'm not trying to pick apart things. However, we do know that, I mean, Matt Rhule has been pretty adamant this offseason in the last two times or three times that we've been able to talk to him, whether that's signing day, whether that's earlier today, he's gone out of his way to really defend Addison Williams and how much he wants Addison Williams and how much he expects Addison Williams to be a part of the staff. I'm not saying it's a bad thing that Matt Rhule picks a guy and goes, I'm sorry, D coordinator Bakhoven, you can go do whatever you want with the rest of the guys, but this guy is going to stick around and I'm going to have the say-so in that. That's fine if you want to operate that way, but it better work. And then you can't also, a year later, if we're talking about this December 9th of 2026 and we're in a very same position, you can't also blame your defensive coordinator for not being able to get the job done. You got to find a way where it all blends as well together as possible.
Well, yeah, and I think that's where you kind of get to this point too. I mean, at a certain point, if you're 7-5 in year four, and you know you're looking for more guys to kind of throw the blame around and things that didn't work, at a certain point, it's like this might be a you problem. You need to get a staff in place and grow with them. If you got to evaluate them first, but you know, kind of grow with them. If you make the decision to hire them, then keep them around and get some continuity going. That can help any staff. So I think that's been part of my frustration this offseason, but it's not as a result of...
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Maybe some guys coming up short, you know, being position coaches or coordinators here at this point. And so, I mean, it is weird. You are getting mixed signals a little bit from that because, yeah, I do believe Arch is going to have an opportunity to make some changes if he wants to, but not at secondary. So, you know, it's like there's going to be some guys that are untouchable. The head coach is going to make sure that that's the case. As we know, Holgorsen came in, brought in D. Shorts as his wide receiver coach. So, you know, if Arch feels like there's somebody that has been instrumental, he's only had 1 year as a defensive coordinator, so you might not feel that way, at least as far as at San Diego State. But if he has somebody that he feels really can help out or worked with somebody before that he specifically likes at linebackers, I mean, that's where I would look at it. Obviously, if they are right now actively looking for a defensive line coach, Arch would have some say in it. At least I would hope so in what they're saying moving forward. And then in the linebacker position. But, you know, part of that, too, is what did you have and what worked? At defensive back, not only do you have Danny Odom coming in partially due to Addison Williams, which is a five-star recruit. So, you know, check off the recruiting side of that in spades. But also your secondary was second nationally in defensive passing and giving up yards there. You know, part of that might have been too much of kind of giving up too much in the front end as opposed to giving it up in the back end. But one way or the other, you don't get a whole lot better than second nationally. So, you know, I think there's a little there's merit behind that.
You can be first nationally.
Sure. that's a high bar.
Yeah, right. No, it's funny.
So, they were for a while, by the way.
Until teams realized, oh, we can run and pass against Nebraska. So Rob Orich, once again, the way that this is going to come across is negative, and I don't necessarily mean it, but a meteoric rise for Coach Orich, and in terms of his coaching career started about 11 years ago, 2014, was at Bemidji State, and then left Bemidji in 2018, was the South Dakota special teams coordinator and inside linebackers coach for 4 years until 2021. In 2022, he goes to Idaho, coaches the Vandals for 2 years as the defensive coordinator and linebacker. And then 2024, he goes to San Diego State as the defensive ends coach. And then 2025 gets the bump up to defensive coordinator and linebackers coach at San Diego State before, obviously, in 2026, going to lead the Huskers defense. But, I mean, Bach, you talk about quite the jump in 3 years, essentially, going from Idaho to Nebraska. Now, granted, the stats will back him up in that he was able to shift around the San Diego State defense last year. I actually watched a little bit of San Diego State football.
Nice.
And because there are a lot of late night Mountain West on CBS Sports type of games.
Yeah.
And they had really good linebackers. The offenses, though, in the conference, not that great. And so we know what the offenses in the Big Ten look like, right? And one of the biggest issues Nebraska had this season was at times when it needed it most, couldn't get off the field. And we're talking allowing long, substantial drives against Michigan, against USC, in times where you need the ball back and you weren't able to get off the field and get a stop when you needed one. We talked about it with John Butler in the NFL. Priorities are different than when they are with defenses in college football, right? College football, it's a lot of stop the run, where in the NFL, it's we just gonna need to limit the run and stop the pass, where in college football, it might be flip-flopped a little bit more. You have to stop the run. And I think we saw that time and time again, that we hope now going forward as spectators of Husker football, that Rob Orich comes in, really puts an emphasis on that and on the defensive front with whoever they decide to bring in as defensive line coach.
Yeah, and it's impossible to evaluate right now. You don't have Absolutely. A defensive line coach, right? I think it's obvious that as they go into this offseason with a lot of bravado behind them as far as the Bills backing them up in the portal, that they're going to need to address that front seven. So, you know, again, it's hard to kind of break it down now and say, well, if they have these pieces, what it's going to look like, which is, by the way, what they're doing for the bowl game. And that's why there's a lot of like, well, it looks like a tough matchup there. But as far as next year and Orch will help with, you know, a little bit with the bowl game and preparing for that, get familiarity with the coaches and players and all that. So that'll help a little bit, but a lot of it's going to be work that's done in the portal. You know, Jay Foreman yesterday on this show, we kind of continued to go back to it. Yes, he had a very impressive defense, but he probably had the three best defensive players in the league on his team. And to his credit, you try to get the most out of those guys. And it's hard to argue that he didn't. All three of them are on all different lines of, and I don't know which three he was talking about specifically, but they did have three All Mountain West selections there on the defensive side of the ball, on the line at linebacker and in the secondary. So at all three levels, they had the defensive player of the year there in the Mountain West at the defensive back position. Again, three shutouts, that leads the FBS. Seven of their 12 teams didn't get to double digits. I mean, so a lot of really impressive stats from just 1 year. Again, there's always going to be the questions. Was that, is this, you know, an anomaly or you know, did it work out? Did the players kind of get this in? All of that. But as far as, you know, again, to your point earlier, you can always move up from second to first, but there's only so many defenses. There's only so many defensive coordinators that can stand here right now at the end of the 25 season in present day and tell you, I had a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
And to do that in 1 year is incredibly impressive. I'm really excited. I think it's a pretty good resume hire, if you will. It doesn't check all the boxes. I would have liked somebody that's certainly done it in the Big Ten, but for a rising coach to choose Nebraska in a spot that's going to be a little bit of a turnaround, a little bit needing some development, tells you too that he's not afraid to get his hands dirty and put some work in.
Yeah, you're right. We were talking about Addison Williams just a couple of minutes ago on the text line. We have, do you guys think that Rule's willingness to not let the defensive coordinator choose a secondary coach is because of Danny Odom, who they brought in? I think that there's some truth to that. Here is what I pulled up the clips because I specifically wanted to go back on this. Rule was asked during signing day last Wednesday, what did you learn from Addison Williams in his ability to win the recruitment of Danny Odom? Here's what Coach Rule had to say on the secondaries coach, Addison Williams.
Yeah, I think Addison's, I was on the road with him down in Florida and down in Georgia, and the way he carries himself, the respect people have for him. You know, and I think if you just, when you look at what he did with our guys this year, he played young players, they developed, they got better, they improved. So I think he's, like I said, I think he's a premier coach and a premier recruiter. And, you know, I think given time, you know, the key is now the consistency of Addison being here, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I think he will build a stable of guys in that room that are all ready to compete and ready to play. And we like the guys that are in there already. And so to add a guy like Danny just was big.
He was also asked, you know, did you have to talk to any players after firing John Butler? And at some point in this, I won't play the entire thing unless it's at the end, but at some point in this answer, he talks about how he called Danny Odom and they were just so concerned that, hey, is Addison still going to be here? And Matt Rule talked about it. Here's what he had to say after that question.
Yeah, I got on the phone. I talked with Danny and his grandfather, and I really appreciated their honesty. And I think a big key for them was, you know, is Addison going to be here? And as I said to them, you know, we've been top 25 defense, let's say, the last 3 years. We're not going to scrap everything. This isn't like this major overhaul, get everyone out of here. Hey, it's just shuffling, you know. Addison is a huge part of the staff, and Addison is here. I think that was really important for Danny. Also said, Danny, you're coming to play for me, and I'm.
So we'll just stop it there. It is pretty obvious that Addison Williams not going anywhere.
Yeah, and to that point, too, I know, you know, not every one of these players might be every Husker fan's favorite, but you look at the youth back there in the secondary, and I think that's a promising point because, yeah, you know, going into the year is like, man, we've got so many veterans back there, and some of those veterans got their spots taken.
They did.
And we saw guys like Donovan Jones, like Rex Guthrie, certainly Andrew Marshall in his first year in the system, as building blocks into the future for that secondary. And again, you know, I can't overstate enough how much having one of the top pass defenses in the country as well should help in this conversation. So, you know, I think he's a big part. I think that's one of the as we sit here and look back and say all these moves made last year, a year ago, did not work. Addison Williams has passed close to in flying colors, right? I mean, you might have a couple frustrations with the pass defense there at the end. But again, I mean, when your rush defense is as bad as it is, you know, it kind of leaves you vulnerable to some of those things. So we'll see. I mean, I think that is one that we have to at least give Matt Rhule credit for is that secondary hire of Addison Williams has worked out really well so far and is a building block for that defense moving forward. I'm intrigued too, the way that he phrased it, you know, a top 10 or top 25 defense in 3 years, obviously now going on your third defensive coordinator, you know, how much he feels like that can be managed regardless of the defensive coordinator.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see, but we do know this, Rob Orich in and Terry Braden out as defensive line coach. We'll wait to see. I know there's a lot of rumors and speculation about who it could be. I'm not so quick to jump in the boat of the idea that everybody thinks with the defensive line hire that everybody is sitting there with. We'll just see what the future holds there. As always, 402-464-5685, the Honda of Lincoln hotline and the Starter Heyman text line open for you guys the rest of the way here. Let's go ahead and step aside. When we come back, we'll dive into more of this. Might also talk a little Husker hoops, ranked for the first time since 2018. A big week ahead for them. Fred Hoiberg met with the media earlier today as well. All that and more. Nick Sainert, Jake Bachhoven with you here on Old School 93.7, The Ticket, theticketfm.com.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7, The Ticket, and theticketfm.com.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury. The consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Welcome back into Old School 93.7, The Ticket, theticketfm.com, brought to you by our friends at the Mercado. Every type of meat, every type of cut, locations in Lincoln and in Omaha. So make sure you stop on now and get your fix. It's beautiful outside for December 9th. And so make sure if you are going to take part in grilling season, it's not necessarily designated grilling season today. But it's nice enough. You can get that thing fired up. Might take a little bit longer to get that thing smoking more than usual, but you'll be able to still get something nice. So maybe treat the fam, treat yourself to some meat and cuts from the Mercado, our friends in Lincoln and Omaha. All right, 402-464-5685, Honda Lincoln Hotline, the Starter Heyman text line, both open for you guys the rest of the way here. Bach and I will take you through 4 o'clock and then hand it over to Outside the Box with head coach Rocky Russo and play-by-play broadcaster Alex Fern. Good stuff with those guys, as always. Lincoln Stars in the middle of another successful year. I went to the Stars Lancers game about 2 weeks ago, And man, one of the best rivalries, and Stars won handily. It was like a 3-0 finish. But it was a convincing Stars victory. And so, good luck to them the rest of the way as well.
I just want to ask you, because we both grew up in Lincoln, maybe 10 years, the difference, whatever it is.
Very I'm 35. So.
I don't know how old you are.
Whoa, you don't?
I know you're like in that area. What are you, 24?
I am.
24,
nice work.
So whoa, I do know, yeah, fuck. I do know how old you are.
You didn't even know how old I was.
I knew in general. I didn't know exactly how old you were. So we do 11 years apart, okay?
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't, no. I put lotion on my skin. I try to look young.
I'm moisturized.
Yeah, that's right. Skincare routine, very important. But I was going to ask you, because when I was growing up, Lancers Stars was like, That was like Yankees Red Sox. Like, it was like living in Lincoln, I knew like that was so heated. Was it the same for you?
I'll be honest. I'm disappointed in myself because there's very few places I'd rather spend like a Friday night than the Icebox. I didn't go to Stars games growing up.
Weren't turned into it too much.
I didn't go to Stars games growing up. I think my first Stars game was maybe my freshman year of college. When they had like a college theme night or whatever it was. And so that was like my first exposure to it. And then obviously we get involved here and things like that. I started here my sophomore year of college and really I've probably gone over the last, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years, probably to 30 plus Stars games. I mean, they're so much fun. And the Icebox is such a unique venue to where it's like, okay, you can't really hear anything clearly, but it makes it great. And fellow Stars fan, we know he's a massive hockey fan on the text line. Chase B. Chase B actually just had a kid.
Oh,
he just became a father. Wow. So congrats to Chase B. Bill and Bennett just sent us a text and a picture of the new child and said that Chase B just became a father. And so congratulations to Chase and his wonderful partner. But once again, the Stars are really, really fun.
Yeah. It's a great time. If you haven't been, you got to go out there and check it out. And when I know too, the Stars when I was growing up too were just really good.
Yeah.
And so I knew that was a big part of trying to rebuild that brand, for head coach Rocky Russo. And they've done a great job of doing it. So yeah, it's star season. So enjoy your time at the Stars. But I know like when you mentioned that, that's like, man, like, cause they think about, you know, high school rivalries, you know, for me, Lincoln Southeast, Southwest or whatever, those type of things. I think Stars Lancers were right up there with anything.
Yeah. So the Stars will actually play a game tonight against the Sioux Falls Stampede. Friday, they will host the Dubuque Fighting Saints, and they'll play a back-to-back at home against Dubuque on Friday and Saturday. So great stuff there with those guys. All right, Bach, before we run out of time in this segment, when we look at Nebraska basketball, a very fun, enjoyable win on Sunday afternoon. I know we've briefly talked about it with our various hosts, but you and I got to talk about it for a couple of minutes on the post-game show on Sunday. But as this one's marinated now, I mean, how much are you bought in? We'll start there. How much are you bought in to Nebraska basketball?
I mean, about as bought in as I think you can be at this point for what we've seen so far. Again, they're two wins away, and they're going to be two very difficult wins, but they haven't lost yet, so don't count them out from the all-time best start at Nebraska. So, again, not necessarily a historic program as far as basketball goes, but still one that's been around for over a century. So that's impressive on its own. But, you know, just the way they can do it, the multi kind of level attack that they can kind of bring and the different people that can show up here. It's kind of interesting. You kind of go through that game and through different games and you're kind of getting different MVPs, but guys you can rely on from game to game, like Rink Mass, he might be the best player on the court or at least the one they run the ball through, the most and more often than not. And there are nights where he maybe isn't necessarily stat hunting. There's other nights where it's like he needs to step up and take it. You know, Price Sanford, I think, was a good example this past game against Creighton where, you know, the Nebraska jumped out to a big lead. They didn't necessarily have scoring. I mean, remember the dreaded scoring droughts that Nebraska basketball had for the longest time? You just don't have that.
You knew
there'd
always be one per game.
Yeah.
There was always one per game. That's what I was telling AD this morning on the show is I was like talking to him about, I mean, there's been a lot of, I don't want to say failure because I feel like that's an extreme. There's been a lot of disappointment, even in Fred Hoiberg's tenure with Nebraska basketball. I mean, fans, the team, the guys on the floor, endured two straight 7-win seasons to start this whole thing. I mean, it was tough. It was really a grind, and it was almost a, it was in the midst of, you have to remember like where the athletic department was too, because not only like Fred, Scott Frost and Will Bolt all came essentially like in the same seasons.
Yeah.
Right. In like that 2017, 2018 area as well. And you just sat there and you were like, you thought all three of these were going to be incredible hires and that they were foolproof and that nothing was going to be an issue in Nebraska athletics as a department was back and on the right trajectory. And Scott Frost got here a year before Fred Hoiberg, but it was like after those first 2 years of Coach Hoiberg, and you combine that with the fine job that Will Bolt has been doing, but then you do that with the lack of success that Scott Frost had, and you sit there and go, oh my gosh, I don't know if I see a light at the end of the tunnel for the three main programs. And volleyball is now included, obviously, and has been included in that conversation too. But out of those three big hires. And now it's almost as if, like, I say this all the time. I think we sometimes forget the resume that Fred Hoiberg has, and he's just on the sideline. Like, he's there for Nebraska basketball, and there's no real concern about anybody coming in and taking him either. There's no real concern, at least for me.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that might come around again. I mean, if you have enough success, I don't think he's had that level of success to kind of warrant that at Nebraska. This is, after all, Nebraska did get ranked after this win over Creighton. They're one of 8 undefeated teams in college basketball, but it's the first time that they're ranked under Coach Fred Hoiberg in year 7. And so it has been a long kind of fight. And of course, there's been ups and downs throughout that. They made NCAA tournament a couple years ago, won the crown last year, but obviously was in any sort of way. I mean, that five game stretch that they lost to get to play themselves out of the NCAA tournament couldn't be any more of a Nebraska basketball situation than that we saw play out in front of our eyes. So again, a lot of ups and downs, but now, you know, and the thing is, I mean, it doesn't matter even through these teams for the longest time, for some reason you'd recruit these shooters and something about the air here at Lincoln, the quality, I don't know what it is, but they couldn't shoot once they got here. Yeah.
Matei Kavas.
Yeah, there's a good example.
He was a great three-point shooter at Seattle University. And then, you know, this happens. He comes to Lincoln.
And there must be something still affecting Bearcat here. But other than that, you know, the rest of these guys are hitting at a high volume. And Nebraska is a threat. And again, from night to night, you know, and earlier in the season, you know, Sam Hoiberg popped up for those 18 points. And I was thinking, you know, that's great. Good non-con kind of story. And then that game against Creighton, it's like, this might be somewhat consistent. If they need him to, Sam Hoiberg can kind of turn it on. And, you know, he's not a guy that there's going to be some games he'll shoot the ball maybe 4 times if that's his role that night. But the other night he saw his advantages and took advantage of them. So it's just there's so many shooters on this team and there's so many options on this team. Again, to build it all around Rink Mass, who you're going to consistently get it from. It's going to be a tough team. And we talked about this briefly too, is, you know, if this team can jump on a lead on you too, or, you know, it's going to be tough to come back. And then the other thing is they fall behind. I mean, they can shoot well enough. You can get 9 points in 3 possessions pretty quickly that they could come back on those. So we're kind of getting more and more into the season. We'd like to see some top 25 victories. They'll get that opportunity in Big Ten play that to believe this is not fool's gold, that this is a legit team right now, and Joe Lunardi's got him as a 7 seed.
Heck yeah.
Right now in bracketology.
Yeah, that's fun. How about this? So to bring up Matei Kavas.
Yeah.
So Matei, he had a season-ending hand injury that he suffered on February 15th. But I mean, to your point of you just get here and you just start, you know, can't shoot the basketball to save your life. The season before he came to Nebraska, he averaged 15.5 points. Averaged 4.6 threes per game and led the conference in 3-pointers per game and 3-point percentage. He shot 47% from beyond the 3-point line. How about this? This is the bio from Huskers.com on Matei Kavas. Kavas provided the Huskers with a scoring threat off the bench, averaging 4.3 points per game in 22 contests. Kavas was one of 7 Huskers to average over 1 3-pointer made per game.
Over one.
And he shot nearly 31% from 3-point range.
Yeah.
So just not the same. Now, different level of play, right? Different level of play. You could also throw a guy like Gervais Green in there as somebody who could just shoot the lights out of the ball at the community college he was at in Western Nebraska. And then he got to Nebraska and could not hit the broadside of a barn. And so it was just a thing. But now this year it's different.
And I hate this. And part of it's because Nebraska's winning. And I didn't mean to pick on Bear K. But
you
to
did.
Be under 10.
You did, though.
Is I don't know the latest number. Before going to Creighton, he was 11% on the year. Oh, and then he was 0 of 2.
Hold on, Bear K?
He might be underneath 10% hold on. At this point.
This could be
from
good.
Beyond the arc. Again, I think he's done a great job, especially in that game of, okay, I'm only going to take it late in the shot clock.
Oh, no.
Or forced. But I think he's under 10%.
He is right at 10%.
That's a bad percent.
He's right at 10% this year. Career, he is 25% from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
It's somewhat, you have to be able to laugh it off a little bit because you know he's somewhat capable from hitting out there. And Bearke's on the floor for his defense. He moves his feet real well on defense. But it is somewhat funny in that regard. His last made three came against Oklahoma.
But I'm sure on the game, like he shoots one or two a game every game.
Yeah.
And has been shooting more. Again, I think now he's
been shooting more.
Well, I think he's adjusting now to the fact that he is a 10% shooter.
So he's attempted 23 pointers on the year and he's made two of them.
Yeah, there you go. Even 10%.
Yeah. I mean, but once again, his value, and I cannot stress this enough in all seriousness, Bearke's value is on the defensive end of the floor. Rink wasn't able to rebound the ball. Jason Green did a really good job on Rink on Sunday. So did Owen Freeman, at least on the boards. And you needed Bearke. You needed Bearke to step up. And Bearke, especially on the glass, did a great job on Sunday. I was listening to Fred in the post game, and he was talking. He's like, Bearke, we just keep having him shoot one, and at some point we're going to get one to fall. He was even kind of laughing it off in some regard. He was like, we're just going to have him keep shooting. And at some point, one's going to fall, and we hope that gets a shot back. Well, and so that is, he goes, there was one in the right wing, right in front of the bench that looked really good. We thought it was going in. It was on target, and it just bounced out. And so it was unfortunate for Bear K. All right, let's wrap up the show coming up next on The Ticket.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Old School 93.7 theticketfm.com. As Bach and I round out the 3 o'clock hour here, we'll hand it off to DP and Harrison at 4 p.m. They'll take you up to the 5 o'clock hour, and then at the 5 p.m. hour is Weekly Disrupt. No Mike Smith tonight. I just saw Pete Ferguson is going to be sitting in, our resident Dallas Cowboys fan. I haven't been able to see Pete since the Detroit Lions beat them. Now, I don't know if Pete wants to see me since the Detroit Lions beat them, but either way, that is okay. So once again, Tuesday and Tuesday evening coverage coming up over the next couple of hours for you here on 93.7 The Ticket. A couple things from the text line, just a continuation of our basketball conversation there on the last segment. By the way, if you missed any of the show, feel free to check it out on the podcast page or online at theticketfm.com. Ben says this: who would have thought a few years ago when Sam Hoiberg came to Nebraska that he would not only save his dad's job, but become a regular part of the offense? Ben, it's funny that you say that because I talked to Sam at Big Ten Media Days this year out in Chicago. And I asked him, I was like, man, like when you look back at these last couple of years and I just kind of think and reminisce on not only your role and how it's evolved and stuff, but I remember asking him like, what goes through your mind? And he looked at me and he's like, honestly, what I expected was I was going to come here. I was going to try to get in the best, you know, better shape and in the best shape I can in a calendar year. And they said, and I was really expecting to just transfer out and go to a smaller D1 or somewhere else and be able to play and stuff. And so it's really, really cool when you see those stories kind of evolve and plans change. And so it's really cool to see what Sam Hoiberg's been able to do. But also, I mean, Bach, that's one area we talk about with football, and there's a lot greater of a chance of a miss in football just because the volume of players is larger, right? So we're going to be able to identify, like, you know, hey, there's 50 guys, and if you hit on 10 of them, that's probably pretty good in football, where in basketball, you have a better chance to maybe be a little more selective on who you bring in and who you really try to invest time into. We cannot argue with some of the development of some of these guys. Rink Mast is dramatically improved from where he was 2 years ago, where he was 3 years ago when he came in after Bradley. We talk about the growth of Sam Hoiberg. We talk about the growth of even Jamarcus Lawrence, who hasn't been here, but still has grown so much. There's been some really good development over the years that you can directly point to Fred Hoiberg and his staff.
Yeah, certainly Bryce Williams, K-State Tominaga, to name a few. I mean, it has been fun to watch. And to Hoiberg's career, I mean, it's the old walk-on story from football that everybody loves so much. And that's why I'll say, I mean, he's one of my favorite careers to watch here at Nebraska basketball. You know, remember that moment, I think it was his sophomore year, got that big steal at the end of the game.
That's right.
And it was like, okay, this was such a great moment, but, you know, what's the future? And so, you know, as we kind of, as his career has evolved, it's still like, yeah, it's great that he's playing, but they need bigger bodies. They need this. And now it's to the point where it's like, he's a Big Ten player. He might not be the biggest out there, but, you know, there's been smaller statured players that have proven their worth. I mean, Braid Smith over there at Purdue's not the biggest guy, but in Sam Hoiberg's to that point, and, you know, his burst on the open court, it's not just hustle, but how fast he is and his acceleration is D1 level, D1 skill, very impressive out there. So he is, you know, obviously the coach's son, so he got that story thrown in there as well. But just one of the better developmental stories. And then we see Kel Jacobson, another guy that's kind of filling out his role and figuring out a way. I don't think he played his best game against Creighton, but has certainly helped out the team, sometimes leading in the plus minus category in some of these games. So it is fun and unexpected to get those type of minutes, those type of contributions. And you can say, well, yeah, but we need guys in. They're playing over scholarship players. There are guys that they brought in with ideas to play, but just haven't won that battle on the court. And that's what you want out of certainly a walk-on program in basketball, which is a lot less beneficial generally than in football.
I think you're right about that. And I also look at, I mean, you look at, once again, just this is, there's so much made about the coach's son piece of it, and make it no mistake. I mean, he is playing because he there's a role, and Nebraska, it's necessary for Sam Hoiberg to find valuable minutes on the floor. And so there's certainly a lot of things that you can point to. This team is fun. They're fun to watch. And we're excited, obviously, a massive opportunity again tomorrow night against Wisconsin, an 8 PM tip off for the Huskers and Badgers. And then they have, their first true road game on the road in Champaign, place that they haven't necessarily played well at in the past, but a place that they can go on and face a top 15 team in the country in the Illinois Fighting Illini. All right, let's step aside. When we come back, Harrison and DP will take over for Bach and myself. We will talk to you tomorrow. Make sure you stay tuned. Once again, Harrison and DP coming up next, as they will lead you into Weekly Disrupt tonight. Instead of Mike Smith, it's Pete Ferguson on the behind the mic for that one, as plenty of great content coming your way here on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. We'll talk to you soon.